I'm Duncan MacLeod.
And I'm Craig Wilson.
This is Talk Central, episode 86 for Sunday, 9 June 2013.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism. Look for us on Twitter at Tech Central.
On Google Plus at Plus Tech Central.
And on Facebook at Tech Central ZA.
On Talk Central this week, we talk about ICASA's war on the cost to communicate, the Internet Service Providers Association's spam victory, and the DA's airtime advertising fracas.
As always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Duncan and I will pick our product or app of the week.
That's right, but first we must pay the bills, and we'll be back right after this.
Hi, I just got your message to meet Mr. Mignana for my performance appraisal.
Oh, that was 2 weeks ago.
What?
Yeah, you were let go.
Oh, no, please. Oh.
Don't get ambushed. Call for backup. Get Hosted Exchange from Vox Telecom, your off-site hosted email solution. Share calendars, contacts, task lists, and public folders, and archive all mail for half the price of an on-site server. Hosted Exchange from Vox Telecom. Backup for your business. SMS 31965, and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
So, welcome to the show. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Duncan.
Good. So, lots to talk about. Let's dive straight into it.
Yeah, busy week. I suppose starting with all the attention today at ICASA, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa. They had a big press hearing this morning to brief us on what they're calling their Cost to Communicate program. I suppose the long and short of it is ICASA is trying to say, well, are we paying too much to communicate? Which I think a lot of people would say, yes, we are. And what sort of measures do they need to take to create an environment where this isn't the case, perhaps?
Well, sounds very good. Do you think this is more of a PR exercise than anything else, Craig?
I did wonder about that. I did ask in this morning's hearings also whether this was the result of pressure from our beloved communications minister, which...
Who is under pressure herself.
Indeed, which elicited quite a lot of laughter from the assembled media and the ICASA councillors in attendance too, followed by...
So in other words, yes.
Well, followed by a very, very curt no from Councillor William Stuckey. So... officially, they're saying, no, that isn't the reason. Some of the causes they're giving, or the motivations, the one is Peter Hurtis, who's the GM of Markets and Competition at ICASA, said that one of the reasons for doing this is by putting dates into out there. The suggestion is perhaps that people can get a better idea of what to expect from the regulator, when to expect it, and to then kick up a bit of a stink if those dates go flying past again. But of course, we've had plenty of deadlines already.
I'm just about to say, what's new here? I mean, I think ICASA and deadline reminds me of that quote from Douglas Adams. I love the sound of a deadline. I love the sound a deadline makes as it goes whooshing past, yeah. Or something along those lines.
Yes, that's exactly it. Whooshing, yes. They did make some good points, though. I thought one of the things that was interesting was I had a little bit of a go at Centec to say that perhaps they have excessive power in distribution of signal, and that this is a problem for newcomers, and that this should perhaps have sort of regulatory intervention. And similarly, they were talking about the cost of broadband and saying that there's very little doubt that we pay too much, particularly relative to our neighbours, whether it's SADC or Africa in general. The fact that South Africa, despite being one of the depending who you speak to, the most advanced economy, is still paying some of the highest prices, both for broadband and for mobile connectivity, whether it's voice or data. And there was a sort of frank acknowledgement that this is not acceptable, and that this damages the economy and damages new businesses, and generally that these sorts of things have to come down. But as you said, I suppose the question is, does this somehow shift from rhetoric to action?
Yeah. Well, we've certainly seen an impact on voice prices, and let's be fair to the mobile operators. The retail price of mobile voice has come down dramatically in the last few years.
Indeed, thanks to that sort of mobile termination rates glide path brought the price down over 3 years.
And aggressive competition, I think, from Cell C. And indeed, the fact that Ata has entered the market as well, so there's a fourth player. But the price of voice has come down. I mean, on Vodacom now, the standard rate is 1.20 per minute on per second billing, whereas 3 years ago it was, 2.50 or more per minute for prepaid users. on some networks, whereas it's as low as 95 cents a minute now. So there's definitely been competition on that side. Where we haven't seen competition is in fixed line broadband, and that's where prices remain excessively high. Now, I was very interested that Peter Grotes, the GM for Markets and Competition at Icasa, quoted this figure of 329 Rand per month for a 40 megabit per second connection and suggested that's what we should be targeting.
Yes. Yes, indeed. He was speaking there, of course, specifically about connections that are available at the Mabinem district in slightly east of Johannesburg. And that's also known as the Arts on Main precinct. And what they've got there is some of the apartment blocks. So we actually, you ran a story on it last year.
I got a tour there from Mark Seftel. He's running that project. And they've run fiber to the home and fiber to the business in that area. I don't think the take-up has been very big, but Craig, you pointed out that they've dropped their prices to 329 Rand a month now for a 40 meg connection and a 20 gigabyte cap.
Of course, to be fair, there are some installation costs you have to contend with. That rate does sound very rosy, but I think you're looking at least 1,000 or 1,500 Rand outlay before you can actually begin enjoying that service. But when you consider what it costs to have a telecom line installed and what you pay on the telephone portion of that, you know, over a year... particularly for those people who don't actually use the telephone line at all, even though it's a prerequisite of the connection. You know, even with those upfront costs, this is still a very, very reasonable rate. I mean, I would gladly pay that for a 40 megabits per second connection.
I mean, I took a look at the rates based on the CASA conference this morning. I looked at Telkom's broadband rates for 40 meg service, which is their top-end DSL service, and it's not cheap.
Just at least sort of 700 Rand just for the line, never mind any data, right?
795 Rand line rental.
Right, and I mean, this is exactly what Icasa is talking about and what they want to address. This is just not tenable. You know, if even the middle class bulk at that sort of fee, how can anyone else be expected to take it up? And, you know, government's constantly shouting about the importance of getting more people online. But unless we actually drive down the cost of this, this just isn't going to happen.
Indeed. Anyway, it may have just been more rhetoric from Icasa this morning, but at least they have put some deadlines on the table, so we will hold them to them. 4th of March next year, I think they set to the deadline for LLU. They haven't said anything about what type of LLU they're looking at.
No, they haven't. They did say that they were open to... They are now reconsidering other forms of LLU rather than simply Bitstream, which is what we were originally going to get. So that's promising, but again, it's promising.
What's changed?
Indeed.
What's changed to make them consider alternatives? And there's still the access line deficit where Telkom loses money on every line in service. What's changed there?
Sure.
I think we need to be a little skeptical about grand claims from a regulator that hasn't really done a very good job in the past.
Indeed. Of course, the other thing that they talked about lastly was price transparency. And again, nice, good sentiment here, but not too much clarity on what this is actually going to mean. The suggestion was that they're going to look very critically at operators and what operators charge. And the question really that they were asking is it possible for the end user to determine accurately how much value they get for their spend? And the answer, you know, anecdotally speaking to other people at the event today was, well, absolutely not. And we've certainly seen this, you know, with I've recently been in the process of moving from one operator to another. And, you know, looking at the rates, the one in question, there were so many packages, even just on a prepaid, you know, so many different options where you could pay different per minute rates or per second rates that it really is tricky. If you consider that, you know, I work in the industry and even I had to sit down and pay close attention.
Sure. On a prepaid, it's simple compared to contract options.
Absolutely, and that's meant to be on the simplest version of prepaid. So you wonder, you know, if we have to really agonize over it and get out the old Excel spreadsheets to make sense of it, what hope is there for the end user? So the suggestion here was that they want to see extreme clarity on what people are paying, you know, for every service, and so that people can make informed comparisons between the various operators' offerings.
Cool. Anyway, Craig, let's move along. Let's move on to the most ludicrous story of the week. And that's this fight that's broken out between the ANC and the DA over the DA's advertising on MTN prepaid vouchers. It's all a storm in a teacup.
Absolutely.
An ANC chairman, I think it was, on the West Rand, some part of the West Rand, raised this issue, attacked MTN, saying how dare MTN affiliate itself with a political party, namely the DA. Of course, this politician was shooting from the hip and didn't actually do any research before attacking the company. And if he had, he would have realized that, in fact, MTN, this was completely out of MTN's control. And it's, in fact, a third party that manages the distribution of these airtime vouchers. And that it's this third party that sold the advertising space on these vouchers to the DA.
Indeed. And that third party, of course, is Blue Label Telecoms, is responsible for most of the... those sorts of vouchers in the country.
Is it Blue Label?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it turned out that it was actually a Blue Label. But regardless, even if it was MTN, frankly, it doesn't make any difference. They've got advertising space for sale, and they sell it to people who are willing to pay the bill.
Sure. There would be an issue if they said to the ANC, no, we won't accept your advertising, but we'll accept the DA's
exactly.
advertising.
But in terms of sort of free market advertising sales, they can sell their advertising to whoever they like.
Exactly.
It's absolutely ludicrous. But as you said, this was the comments of one particular ANC member who clearly hadn't done his research. Perhaps he's a graduate of the Youth League.
And quite possibly. And the national ANC, to its credit, quickly distanced itself from this issue and said they weren't objecting at all. Anyway, the DA took full airtime out of this, excuse the pun, and milked it for all it was worth. And I think the ANC came out looking really stupid.
Yes, absolutely.
But there you go. That certainly was the...
That was the comic highlight of the week.
Highlight of the week, yeah. And Craig, I think the third story we want to touch on this week is one that you actually picked up on, and that's the Internet Service Providers Association has won a key court victory in the High Court in Johannesburg, was it?
That's right,
this week, over a spammer. What happened?
Right, so we don't actually have too much detail on why the court found in ISPA's favour, or rather why it dismissed the claim of a service provider called Kettler Presentations. Now, ISPA, which is the Internet Service Providers Association, has for many years run what they call their Hall of Shame for spammers. And what they do is they have a list on their site of repeat offenders who generate and send out unsolicited email or other communications. There's been a long-running battle between the two of them, between Kettler and ISPA, with ISPA even getting Kettler to sign an agreement previously saying that it would stop spamming, which it then reneged on. And so ISPA listed them on this Hall of Shame, as they call it. This is the first time, I'm told by ISPA, that they've actually had legal action. They've certainly had complaints from some of the other companies, but here Kettler actually sued them for defamation. And as you said, the High Court, all we know so far is that the High Court has dismissed Kettler's case with costs. And the suggestion, at least, there was a mention on the judgment that it could be publicly shared. And the suggestion, at least, is that this implies that the court thought it worthy or in the public interest, should I say.
I think it's highly unusual for them not to make a judgment.
No, that's also true. But the suggestion is that, hopefully this sets a precedent, really. And, no one particularly likes, none of us like spam.
Yeah, they should be shot, hung up, and drawn in court, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. And so it's interesting to see that that this has gone the way of ISPA. It's certainly very pleasing. One of the people I spoke to at ISPA said that Kettler's bark in some ways was worse than its bite. And once it became clear that ISPA was not going to settle out of court and was quite happy to let the process continue, Kettler lost some of its enthusiasm for the fight. But it kind of had no choice and got stuck in and has now come out of the other end the loser.
Good. Well, worthy loser they are. And that's not our loser this week, by the way, but worthy loser Kettler is. And well done to ISPA on winning that one. I think every victory in the fight against spammers is good news. Good. Craig, I think let's actually do our winner and loser of the week this week. Let's start with the loser.
Indeed.
I think we may have picked him before. I have a feeling we picked him a couple of weeks ago.
But okay. I think we may have picked his boss before too.
Certainly picked his boss before.
It's not the first time we've had a repeat. I'm sure it's all right.
Anyway, our loser of the week is Wisani Ngubeni, the spin doctor for Dina Pule, who this week, unfortunately, we have to say, suffered a house robbery in Bloemfontein, his home. Never a nice thing to happen, but this particular Mampara, if I may borrow a term from the Sunday Times, then said that that it was all part of a grand scheme and that his house was broken into and documents were stolen related to his defence of the communications minister, which, come on, let's be honest.
Just comes across as ludicrous.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, frankly, even if it were true, I'm not sure I'd want to tell the media because it sounds so preposterous.
Yeah, indeed. He's our loser of the week for suggesting that a plane, he was the victim of crime. That's never a nice thing to happen, but for
trying to link it to a plot of some sort.
A plot against him and his under fire boss Dina Poulet is a bit much. So for that, Wissani Ngobeni is our loser this week. And our winner, Craig?
Our winner this week has got to be Google, and this is for its involvement in a very substantial solar project that's taking place in the Northern Cape. And Google's committed, I think it was $12 million or 120 million rand at roughly the going exchange rate, although of course that could change by dinner time. And this is great. So what we've seen is Google's investing in, they say they've invested more than $1 billion dollars in various renewable energy products, projects, Friday afternoon, around the globe. And it's just great to see some of this money and some of this interest pouring into South Africa specifically.
Indeed. And this project's going to be built near Kimberley in the Northern Cape. It's the first investment by Google in a solar photovoltaic project in Africa. And hopefully it's not the last.
No, indeed. And it's going to turn out to be one of the largest projects of its kind on the continent. So good news.
Indeed.
And always nice to have some. And Google, welcome.
Good. Google, our deserved winner of the week.
Yes.
Before we say goodbye, Craig, we need to do our Apple product pick of the week. What have you got this week?
I was going to say, I was going to let you go first, but maybe we should keep you till last, given your enthusiasm for this particular product. So my app this week, it's not brand new, but it is brand new to some people, and it's called Vine. It's a little app that allows you to create 6-second videos with audio.
It's a Twitter service.
Sorry?
It's a Twitter-owned service.
That's right, yeah. And it's one of the novelties. It's very easy to use. You open it up, you go to the camera mode, and you hold your finger on the screen to record short portions of video. So you can record very, very small snippets, and it stitches them all together and loops them a bit like you would with a GIF, or a GIF if the inventor of the GIF is to be believed, which he isn't.
Nope.
It's a very simple app, very kind of fun. I've seen some great ones from some celebrities. One member in particular of the Game of Thrones cast has an excellent Vine feed. They're really just fun little videos, but I've seen some brands and some people using them to really great effect. It's another novelty for smartphones, and iOS or Apple users, should I say, have had the pleasure of Vine for ages, but it's only this week that it's come to Android, complete with some of the usual complaints from iOS users of the sort that there were when Instagram was released for Android, which is absolutely ridiculous. But but still, that's my pick this week is Vine. Great fun, and I'm particularly fond of the editor's picks that you get when you load it up the first time, because often the problem with these apps is you load them, and if you don't have any friends to follow or similar, there's no real quality content to see. But Vine's got an excellent selection of things to inspire you and get you out there creating your own. Now, Duncan, this is the bit we've been waiting for. Tell us about your product of the week.
Well, we'll have a review on this up early next week. In fact, I'll probably get to doing it this weekend. But my pick of the week this week is what I believe is the best tablet in the market right now. Something has finally beaten the iPad. And it's the Sony Xperia Z tablet.
And we've got one here. I see you're handling it with
it is
with
beautiful, 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 beautiful Android-powered tablet. It's incredibly light and incredibly thin. And it's just everything a tablet should be. It's thinner, believe it or not, than the iPad. It's
certainly lighter.
Got a high-resolution screen. I'm not exactly sure what the resolution is, but it looks like it's in Retina sort of territory. It's really a stunning device. It's difficult to describe it. You actually have to get it in your hands and just feel it and just feel how light it is and how absolutely gorgeous it is. It's this beautiful slab of black glass, and it's incredibly light, and it's incredibly desirable.
It's definitely the best looking Android tablet I've ever seen.
It's the best tablet.
That's true. And definitely in the Android camp. I mean, compared to the Samsung tablets, which may have great functionality, but my gripe with them is that they've always felt a little bit cheap, a little bit plastic.
Yes.
Those plastic shells. This is no mark against the functionality, but in terms of look and feel, and this Sony just absolutely screams premium device.
It's absolutely
beautiful.
And Sony's really back in the game. The Xperia Z smartphone is also a stunning device, and they're bringing out a new range of Vio laptops soon, and they're promising to really take the fight to Apple's MacBook Air. So I'm really looking forward to the next line of Vio laptops.
Indeed.
Of course, these products aren't cheap, but it certainly shows that MTN So where did that come from? Certainly shows that Sony is back in the game and putting up a good fight. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the new Vios, and I'm also really looking forward to seeing the new PlayStation 4, because if it takes its design cue, if its new console takes its design cue from these devices, it's going to be a stunning looking device. Because let's be frank, that new Xbox One is really ugly.
Indeed, yes. Not the prettiest thing. No. But then Microsoft never had the best sense of style.
No, it doesn't. No, indeed.
Sony, meanwhile, have done an excellent job with this device. I look forward to reading your full review next week.
I also look forward to hearing the price. I've been hearing rumors that it may be in the 10,000 rand category, which would then
remove it from being the real iPad killer that it looks to be.
Yes, but if it's in the, depends in the, on the price range and the specs as well. We'll have a few full review of this up early next week, so look out for that and our take on the Xperia Z tablet and whether it can take on Apple. Right, Craig, I think that's all the time we've got for this week. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can drop us a mail at info@techcentral.co.za, or we can leave a comment under the post. Until next time, have a great week. Cheers.